This pandemic is highlighting very clearly that people are going to process things differently. You have state governors who are using these three colors, green, yellow, and red, to describe the phasing of reopening their state. Well, there's no question about it. There are green, yellow, and red people. Some people that are red hot red, and they're all over the map. And by the way, they're in our church. I've been hearing from lots of different people over the last couple of weeks, and we have people who are green who are saying, let's open it up. Let's just do it. You got yellow people who are saying, well, I want to open it up, but I want to be a little bit more careful and cautious. And then you got red people who are saying, I'm not sending my kids to church at all. In fact, I'm not sending my kids to school unless there's a vaccine. And then I've even heard about some people who are red hot, super, super desperate and panicky over this. In fact, just last week, a pastor I know told me something I couldn't believe. He said that somebody actually drove to his church and kind of secretly went into all, it's just kind of a small church, went into two or three of the bathrooms they have there, went into all the bathrooms and took the toilet paper out of the church bathrooms. Yes, that's right. They stole Jesus's toilet paper. Wow. Wow. I hope you're not that desperate. But if you're losing faith, if you're losing hope over this thing, and of course, whenever that happens, people want to know the why answer. You know, when people come to me all the time when they're going through tough times or they're going through suffering, and they ask me the question all the time, Pastor, why? Why is this happening? Why is this pandemic happening? Why are people suffering like this? And I have to tell them, I don't know the mind of God. I don't know what reasons are there for your suffering. But I can tell them what the reasons are not. One of the reasons that is not true is that God doesn't care. He does care. God loves you. He cares. The gospel screams this out to us. The gospel is all about God coming to earth to suffer for us. Why? Because God desires one day to end all suffering and to forgive us. And by the way, no other world religion teaches that. Only Christianity. Christianity alone describes a God who enters into our suffering. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says this. Let's look at the verse. Since he himself, speaking of Christ, has gone through suffering and testing, he's able to help us when we're being tested. So I know one reason that you might be having some difficulty or suffering right now through this. I know one reason that is not true. It's people who say, well, God doesn't care. He does care. He enters into our suffering. So God's at work. He's at work through this pandemic. And this, the theme of our series over the last couple of weeks, and I really believe it, is that God is bringing great renewal through this crisis. He is. And I want to talk to you again today about the place he's going to bring renewal. He could bring renewal to you. And it's the most important part of the renewal theme altogether. And that's your spiritual life. That's what God wants to do more than anything else. Yes, he's bringing renewal to people's priority list and their values and spending time with family maybe and reordering things. But the main thing God wants to do is address your relationship with him, your spiritual life. And I've entitled this message, Walking with God, because that's the goal. You and I have an opportunity to learn how to walk with God in ways that we have never thought of before. This could be a time of incredible spiritual renewal in your life where you could actually learn how to walk with God. Now, this term, walking with God, is throughout the Bible. And at different places, it actually mentions people who walked with God, like Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. Let's take a look at that verse. And he became the father of Methuselah, and Enoch walked faithfully with God. 300 years, and had other sons and daughters. You know, the closer you get to Adam, the longer Adam was perfect man. And so he lived a long time, and people who lived after Adam, you know, closest to Adam, they live for a long time, 300 years. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 talks about Noah. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And look, and he walked faithfully with God. The prophet Micah talks about what God expects of us. And look what he says here in Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There it is right there. God expects us to get to a place where we walk with him. Now, we're going to unpack that for you today. But let's look at the New Testament, Romans chapter 13. What's that say? Let us walk. Paul says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Let's look at another verse in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. So God uses this imagery a lot of walking, of trying to describe the relationship, the fellowship that he wants to have with his people. God is saying, I want to walk with you. And this pandemic is an opportunity for us to stop from all the distractions and have a relationship with God so that we actually learn to walk with God every day. I mean, you think about this, is kind of amazing. It's still amazing to me. God has hit the pause button on the world. I mean, he has taken away all the diversions, all the distractions, sports, entertainment. I mean, you can watch movies. We've seen all the movies we want to see. I mean, they've been either the activities are outlawed. You can't go to movies. You can't do this. He's eliminated all the distractions, at least for a time. And I think it's a tremendous opportunity because people don't have the busyness, they don't have the distractions to consider their relationship with God. Frankly, if this doesn't do it, if this pause button that God has given the world doesn't cause people to look upward and to consider their relationship with God, I don't know what will. But the goal in all of it is he wants to get you to a place in a relationship with him that you walk with him. Every day. My wife, Judy, she loves to walk. She records her steps, you know. She used to have that Fitbit, and now she has an Apple Watch. I splurged and got her the Apple Watch. And so she tracks everything. She does it during the different times during the day because she can walk a lot because we're at home. But we don't exercise together. And there's a good reason that my wife and I don't exercise together. It's because we don't agree on how to exercise. I'm a heart patient. At 43, I had a heart attack and I had triple bypass heart surgery at 43 years old. So when I exercise, I'm trying to get my heart rate up. It's more of an aerobic style for me. I'm trying to strengthen my lungs and I'm trying to strengthen my heart. Why? Well, because I want to keep my heart beating. You know, it's a good thing to have your heart beating. So I exercise for aerobics. My wife, Judy, she exercises for a different reason. She exercises primarily for muscle tone. She walks to walk off whatever it is that women want to walk off when they walk. So we don't walk together for exercise. But we do walk together. In fact, 37 years ago, on August 6th of this year, will be the anniversary. 37 years ago, we decided that we were going to walk together in life. And we made deep commitments on that day. More importantly, not just to each other, we made a deep commitment to God, that the goal and the aim of our life was going to be God-focused and that we would walk with him. Now, let me explain to you how this works out for the believer. I mean, how do we actually get to a place where every day we walk with the living God? Here's the key. The way that believers walk with God is through the person of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to have an intimate relationship and walk with God. Pastor, when does a person receive the Holy Spirit? Answer. Two things must happen. First of all, you have to believe. Second of all, you have to surrender. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, that's what it talks about. It talks about believing and surrendering. What do I have to believe? Well, it's not just an intellectual belief. The devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil believes he died for the sins of the world. It's not just acknowledging that intellectually. It's more than that. When the Bible talks about saving faith and saving belief, what it's talking about is this. Is that when Jesus goes to that cross and he dies on that cross and is resurrected, that act satisfies the Father's plan for salvation. In other words, because you and I have sinned, because we're guilty and there must be a penalty, if you sin for justice to take place, you know, if we were in a courtroom and we see somebody getting away with something that everybody knows he's guilty of, and the judge says, you know, I'm just going to let you go this time. And we're going to scream out. Where's justice? When a crime has been committed, there has to be some sort of penalty or punishment. And you and I have broken God's law all the time. We do it. We're going to do it today. We break God's law all the time. Who's going to pay the penalty for that? Answer. Justice is served on the cross. God's wrath will happen. The difference is it happens at the cross. At the cross, Jesus takes all the punishment for all the stuff that you do, that you're ashamed of, that you'll do even in the future. All of those sins, past, present, and future, in one act, he takes all of that punishment at that cross. And when a person stops trusting, listen, you stop trusting in what you think will cover those sins. You ask the average person today in America, hey, why should God let you into heaven? Why should he take, you know, what's going to forgive or cover those sins for you to be in paradise with him? They'll say, well, I've tried to be a good husband. I've tried to be a good person, tried to be a good citizen. Try to do good things. Basically, what they're saying is, I'm going to do enough good things to work off those sins. So when God looks at the percentages, it's not equal, but he'll see a pretty good life and that'll get my ticket in. Won't work. The Bible is clear. Unfortunately, religion, even some Christian, what so-called Christian churches have taught the people that. If you lead a good enough life, and you do enough religious things, by the way, too. You get baptized, you get confirmed, you go through all those rituals. If you do that, you got enough good things in your column that you'll get in. That is the biggest lie. And frankly, if you could get in by doing enough good things, Jesus doesn't need to come to die. You can get in yourself. No, the Bible is declaring very clearly that because you and I cannot do enough good things, all of our efforts fall short of God's standard, which is perfection, because we can't do enough. There has to be another way. And God, knowing this, provided the other way. He takes the hit. He sends his son to earth to take all the punishment, all the sins. The Bible says he becomes a curse for us. He takes it all on his shoulders. And he pays the penalty and dies in our place. It's called substitutionary sacrifice. He becomes our substitute. And when a person stops trusting in whatever they're trusting in, and some of you are trusting in your religion, some of you are trusting in your goodness, today you need to forsake all of that and say, I've been trusting in the wrong thing. I've been believing a lie. And when you put your total faith on what Jesus did for you and you receive it like a gift, you open up your arms, and some of you for the first time today may be saying to Jesus, I never thought about this before, Jesus, but I've been trusting in myself and my own goodness. Today, your death on that cross, you need to tell him this. Your death on that cross is enough to cover all of my sins. I believe that. Past, present, future. That's called saving faith. When a person has saving faith and, listen, receives Jesus as Lord, that means second word, believe, first word, second word, surrender. Surrender. You got to get serious about turning your life over to God. Look at me. God is not interested in improving you. He's not that superficial. He doesn't want to improve you as a person. He wants to kill that old person inside of you, that sinful person inside of you, and he wants to create a whole new person in Christ. That's what born again is. That's what the new birth that the New Testament talks about. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a person is born again, they can't even see heaven. What God is saying is he wants to actually go into your heart, kill that old person, and then place his Holy Spirit inside of you. Now the third person of the Trinity, God himself, actually indwells you. And now he's going to create a whole new person in Christ. Will you still have the same personality? Sure. I'm still the oldest son of Nick and Lucy Episcopo. And the way God created me and the way I'm wired. But the difference is now Christ lives in me. I'm not the same. A new Dennis, a new person gets created. And that's what he wants to do inside of you. And when you have a person who believes and surrenders, have you done that yet? You need to. And if God is working in your life right now, you will sense his thumb on you until you get to that place where you're willing to say, I give up. And when you surrender to him, God's answer is the Holy Spirit. And now God's Spirit comes to live inside of you. And God is inviting you to this. He's saying, listen, if you let me take the steering wheel and you get in the back seat, not only will all of your sins be covered, but now we'll have this intimate relationship and we will walk together every day. You got to ask God for this. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask God to do this. But you have to ask God. Listen, look what Jesus said here in Luke chapter 11. He said, so if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Maybe you never thought about that. You got to ask God for the Holy Spirit. You've got to ask him to save you. You got to ask him to come into your heart. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. This is Jesus speaking. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. Pastor, why is it so important that if I'm going to walk with God, that I first give up control? Well, there's a very practical, logical reason for that. Because, listen, two people can't walk together unless they're what? Moving in the same direction. That's why you got to give up control. That's why you've got, so that you and Jesus now are walking in the same direction in life. Look at Amos puts it really clear, the prophet Amos. He says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Of course not. Jesus uses another word picture. He talks about being yoked up with him. You know what a yoke was? It took two farm animals and a put them together. They had no choice but to move in the same direction. Matthew chapter 11. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Watch this. For my yoke is easy to bear. Why is it easy to bear? Because you're yoked up with Jesus. And the burden I give you is light. You see what that's saying? You yoke up with me, Jesus says. And these heavy burdens you're carrying right now, all of a sudden they're going to lighten. They may not go away, but you're going to find the load lighter. Why? Because you're yoked up with me and I'm carrying the load. And you'll find rest for your souls. Look how the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Let us walk with the Spirit. So that's it. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's the renewal he's trying to bring to you. That's the opportunity that's in front of you right now through this crisis, is the pause button, God hitting the pause button. And the offer is, if you will stop trusting in whatever you're trusting in, so many people are trusting in their religion. You ask the average person, especially if they went to church their whole life, why would God let you into heaven? Well, I was baptized. What's that? That's a religious work you're depending on, something you did. No, that's not going to get you into heaven. No, if you believe that I'm hopeless, I am helpless without God, it's only what Jesus did for Dennis Episcopo that will get me in. He provided the way for my ticket. And when I stand before him and he says, Dennis, why should I let you into my kingdom? The only answer I can give him is, Jesus, nothing I've done. You did it. You did the work. And I've trusted that way back in March of 1980. I said, I'm not going to trust in anything anymore, Jesus. And I received the gift and I asked you, I invited you in to kill this old Dennis and to raise up a whole new person in Christ. God did it. And that began a journey for me where I began now to not only know God, I had this personal relationship with him and I could read the Bible and the lights were on. I was born again. It was just the beginning. And now it's been a long time. But I have spent many years walking with God. I want that for you. I want you to, God wants that for you. I mean, just imagine you get up tomorrow morning and Jesus is physically there next to you. And just imagine he says, you know, I want to spend the day with you. I want to walk with you. I'd like to help you and guide you. But mostly I just want to be with you because you mean so much to me. Is that okay with you? And you're so excited, you say, well, Jesus, I would love for you to walk with me today. And this would be just between you and Jesus. You know, he'd be invisible to other people. But you're going to walk with him. You're going to do your day with Jesus right next to you. And you know, you get to your desk and you got a Zoom call with your boss. And he asks you, you know, what are you going to do about that thing? What are you going to do about that problem? And you say, gee, God only knows. And Jesus says, I do know. And he gives you some ideas and he gives you some wisdom on what you ought to do. And you really like this thing, this kind of partnership. And you're walking with God. It's amazing. And you got all the troublemakers during the day, other knuckleheads that come your way. And Jesus kind of tells you, he tells you how he's looking at that person and you notice something. Wait a minute. You're beginning to change the way you think about that person. And you're beginning to look at them the way Jesus is looking at them and see what Jesus sees. It's very interesting. And then you find yourself talking to Jesus through all kinds of different situations throughout the day. Even when you're driving in your car, and Jesus is next to you and he looks kind of nervous. And so you're a little bit more careful with how you salute other drivers. And at night, you got to do your budget. So you sit down and you know Jesus is next to you and you spend your money in a little different way. You think a little differently about your leisure time and how you talk to your kids or how you talk to your spouse. And it's very interesting, but the joy meter's up, it's up. You feel perfect peace. You actually like walking with Jesus. But, you know, truth is there's times you prefer he wasn't there. There are moments you want to do something. You want to say something. And you don't want him with you. But the amazing thing is, he wants to walk with you even during those times. So the day ends, and you're lying in bed and kind of thinking of what the day was like. You walked with Jesus, and you're like a little kid, you know. You say, hey, Jesus, can you just hang out here a little bit more till I fall asleep? And Jesus answers, he says, well, actually, you know, my plan is to be here all night just to watch you sleep. It's one of my favorite things to do, you know. And you say, well, what about tomorrow? He says, well, if you want, we could do this all over again. We can walk together. And you say, Wow, that would be awesome. Pause button. Tomorrow, when you open up your eyes, you don't have to imagine Jesus being there, because he will. See, there's a thing called the omnipresence of God. He's always there. And that same Jesus who was whipped and crucified and resurrected is alive. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Jesus who walked with Enoch and Noah and Paul is the same Jesus that has made it possible to walk with you every day. See, God wants to fill you with himself. He wants to place his spirit inside of you to create a new person so that moment by moment, you live with him, you talk with him, you walk with him. And what I'm afraid of is that there's so many people that will miss all that God has for them. Why? Because they crowd God out of their lives. And this is why this is a time like no other where God is hitting the pause button on the world and he's inviting people to walk with him. Meredith Willson was an American composer and author. He wrote songs for Glenn Miller and Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. He wrote most of the score for the play, The Music Man. He also wrote a little book because he was an author, and he wrote this book called And There I Stood with My Piccolo. That's the title of the book. You know what a piccolo is, right? It's kind of a half-size flute, very, very, very small instrument. I don't think it's about 12 inches long, 12, 13 inches long. And this book is an autobiographical sketch because he played a piccolo, and in the book he has a dream. And one night he's being invited to be part of the best band in the world. And the band is going to play in front of the world's richest king. And so he's invited to join the band. And the king listens to him play, and he loves what he hears from the band. And when it's all over, the king says, I want each band member to step forward. And when you come forward, I'm going to have one of my servants fill your instrument with gold. And he said, there I stood with my piccolo. You know, that's the way for some of us. Unfortunately, we're going to end up with God's invitation. The God of the universe is inviting you to have an intimate, loving relationship with him. He wants to walk with you every day. But sadly, so many of us will reply, well, God, listen, I appreciate the offer, but I'm kind of busy right now. In fact, I've kind of got my life all laid out. Got a lot of obligations, you know. I mean, I'll try and make as much room for you as possible, but that's just the way it's going to have to be. Well, what I'm trying to communicate to you today is if you respond to God in that way, to all that he's offering you, you will be standing there with your piccolo. Well, God is trying to say to you, I want to pour all of my abundance upon your life. Walk with me. Walk with me. Believe. Surrender. And you will find rest for your soul. Let me pray with you. Father, this will be a divine appointment for some people. People that you have prepared for this moment that you're calling. And there needs to be a single response. A response that frankly is not coming from them. But you're going to give them the faith. You're actually going to urge them and motivate them to do this. But they have no other choice but to say, God, you have opened me up like a Christmas package. I am wide open before you. You're talking to me. I believe. I believe, God, that you came. You sent your son to die for me, and that is enough. I don't need to go through any religious hoops. I don't have to do anything. I can't do anything to cover my stuff that I'm so ashamed of. You've done it all, Jesus, and I receive that gift today by faith. I apply your death to all of my sins, past, present, and future, and I'm going to rest from this moment on that my ticket into heaven is because of what you've done for me, and that alone. Just like the hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I will cling. I'm yours from this moment on. Do whatever you want to do in my life. Make me into the kind of person you want me to be. I'm yours, and I'm never looking back. Oh God, for those who have prayed that prayer, who really meant it, you are placing inside of them now the Holy Spirit. And they are now and for the rest of their lives into eternity will walk with you. I pray, Lord, that you will confirm the work that you're doing in their lives through many people. Thank you, God, for the way that you chase after us and call us and equip us. And save us. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gives us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you this week in every good deed and word. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.